Hey, Lauren, do you want to hear about a good deal?
Well, yes, Mason, I would love to.
Good, because I have a deal with your name on it.
Tell me more!
Well, in that case, GoDaddy.com is offering the best deals of a lifetime. For only $3.59 a month for a year, you can get GoDaddy.com's Economy Package.
Amazing! What do I get with the Economy Package?
You get 250 gigs of bandwidth, 5 gigs of storage, and up to 500 email accounts. You can get your website up and running.
I can?
Yeah. When you check out, enter code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, and save 10% on any order.
Can you spell that again?
Yeah, I can. That's M-U-G-G-L-E.
Wow. Do any restrictions apply?
Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Today's MuggleNet podcast is brought to you by Borders. In May, thousands of Harry Potter fans descended upon New Orleans for the Phoenix Rising Conference. Borders was there to take in the sights and share a lively discussion of the series that has bewitched the world with some of Harry's most dedicated fans. Listen in and watch the action yourself. Check out the Phoenix Rising Borders book club discussion at bordersmedia.com/Harry Potter or click on the Borders banner at the top of the MuggleNet page.
Thanks. Welcome.
Jeez. Oh, man. Guys. Jeez. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Hi, everyone. What a big surprise. Hi, everyone. Welcome to MuggleCast Live in Pittsburgh. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. You're in store for some good Deathly Hallows discussion and some awesome Wizard Rock from the Remus Lupins. We're also celebrating a couple birthdays today. Does everyone know? Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling. Brandon, can you do me a favor? Can you give me that Target bag over there? We were just at Target shopping for birthday supplies. And there's a few birthdays today. Thank you. Does anyone like some hats or some streamers? Well, we have one little bag. We didn't really buy for everyone. I was sort of addressing the panel.
It's her birthday.
Oh, it's her birthday? What's your name? Oh, it's not? Oh, okay. Is there someone named Zoe here? Zoe? Is that you? Can you come on up?
Andrew, why don't you card her just to make sure? Because everyone's saying it's their birthday.
Yeah.
Now.
Can we see some identification, please? No, I trust you. I've been talking with your mom. You didn't know that, but I was...
Yeah, way.
I have her number. We call each other all the time. Anyway... Anyway, it's Zoe's birthday today. It's also Harry Potter's birthday today. It's also J.K. Rowling's birthday today. So to kick off the show, why don't we have a rousing rendition of Happy Birthday? I'm sure we'll do it again later with Remus Lupins, okay? So on three, guys.
All right. What are we doing?
Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday song? Is it in the UK?
Man, this is going to be bad.
No, I've never heard
it. I'll do it. We can
sing. Yeah, we'll all do it.
Okay, good.
Okay, on three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Zoe, J.K. Rowling, and Harry Potter.
Harry Potter!
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah!
Party hats, everybody. Woo!
Oh, wonderful. I got
it. Fine, Emerson. Just take my party hat.
There we go. Yes! Okay, anyway, we'll get to the rest of the party stuff later. But has everyone read Deathly Hallows, first of all? All right. That's good. That's good. I'm sorry.
We're going to spoil the heck out of you.
We will be discussing the book today.
So
we're going to be talking Deathly Hallows today because the book's been out for like a week now.
And
We can't speculate anymore. There we go. I said a week. Sorry, a week, 7 days, something like that. Anyway,
it came out on the 21st, guys.
I'd say a week and a half. Actually.
A week and a half.
10 days.
Came 10
out
days.
On 21st.
Sorry.
31st.
Sorry, everyone.
I can count.
Okay, so anyway, get on track here. We've been having a main discussion at all these shows that we've done. We've talked about Snape, Dumbledore, Voldemort, Ron, Hermione. So who better to talk about today than Harry Potter?
I agree. Woo! But before we get there, I just want to say that after doing...
No.
No.
Yeah, Jamie?
He does. I just wanted to say that after we've been to all these borders and all these libraries, this is such a nice change for doing a podcast inside one of these things. Which is very cool. Don't you agree?
We do like the outdoor.
We do like the outdoor.
It's very pretty. It's pretty.
Do you very
it's
much. Nice. But on to the main discussion. As Andrew said, we've been taking one character for each stop on our podcast tour. We've covered Snape, Dumbledore, Hermione, Ron, and I think
Voldemort.
Someone else who I can't remember. Yeah, Voldemort. So now... we're going to take everything to its culmination and discuss Harry, since, you know, obviously Harry Potter and everything. He's the main character. So what we wanted to talk about was how he's changed in the first six books and then how the seventh book has completely changed our perceptions of him, whether we think he's more angsty, more brave, all those kind of things or not. So why don't we start with a few points here from the panel.
Mikey?
Well, I think Harry definitely kind of grew up in book seven, definitely, you know, he kind of figured things out. You know, Hermione was louder. Stand up for people to see us as we talk. Okay. Anyway, Harry definitely grew up quite a bit during book seven.
It's book tourish.
Yeah, you know, it's been a book tour, so we've been sitting down, you know, in a lounge area, relaxing, talking about books. But Harry grew up in book seven, I think, especially when it came down to he realized he had to kind of die, which was nice, kind of, yeah, maybe. But he came up and he realized, you know, he grew up there versus like book five, you know, or the Phoenix, where he's like all caps Harry, very angsty and angry, like, I'm angry at you.
But Mikey, I'd like to disagree and say that Harry hasn't grown up because you keep making the point that any grown, mature man would not jump into a pool of icy cold water with a Horcrux around his neck.
Completely naked.
Completely
you speak
naked,
for yourself,
yeah.
Sir. You speak for yourself.
I personally
Mikey,
wouldn't.
Just because you're a nudist doesn't mean all rational people
do that.
See,
know,
you mysteriously find Godric Gryffindor's sword laying at the bottom of this ice, freezing
but
cold
it could
pool.
Not be a sword as well. He's like... you know, he thinks it's his sword, but he could be wrong. Harry's
this
wrong
is after you're chasing this mystical, ghostly animal through the forest. And so you see this sword at the bottom of this freezing cold pool. So what do? You strip naked and jump in. No, you go back, you tell Hermione what happened, you let Hermione, the adult, figure it out, sort it out, you know, be rational.
I'm sure there's a spell he could have used.
You know, I think he just wanted to take a dip. He was kind of hot. Just cool himself off. He saw something in the water. Who
that
knows?
That's pretty true.
Anyway, Jamie, what do you think about Harry?
What
do
I think about Harry?
Has he grown?
I think he's grown up a bit, but I think he's realized what he can and can't do now. So he isn't clever like Hermione, and he's actually pretty dumb, to be honest, isn't he, Harry
See,
Potter?
I'm Harry Potter! He's I think Harry Potter is innately talented, but I think, and I've made this point a couple times before, Harry is given this quest by Dumbledore in the sixth book where he has to track down all these Horcruxes and ultimately kill the greatest wizard alive. And so what does Harry do in his free time? He just kind of sits around and goes with the flow, whereas Hermione uses all her time and energy to read books and to further her skills and learn more magic, and Harry just takes everything completely for granted and he gets lucky over and over and over. And I love the kid. We really do. We love Harry Potter. We run a Harry Potter website. But if it weren't for Hermione saving his butt over and over and over again in that last book...
He'd be dead by now so easily.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And we've been talking about, throughout every stop, we've been talking about how...
These are fun.
We've been talking about how Harry will wake up completely not knowing where he is, probably camping again, and there will be Hermione standing next to him, all bushy-haired, saying, "Well, Harry, that was a close one again." You know,
yeah,
so
he has a near-death experience
every
three pages
seconds.
In that book.
Well, that was the thing we were talking about. One of the things we sort of speculated about in the first 100 episodes of MuggleCast. I mean, Harry has made so many narrow escapes. I just said, now it's time for him to bite the dust. I mean, he's missed out too many times. And J.K. Rowling has even said, that she has considered having the trio, one member of the trio, dying. So it's not that absurd of a statement to make.
Well, he kind of died, didn't he? Or did
no. No, I've been making... Again, this is another one of those points I've been making. Harry Potter did not die in that book. He absolutely did not die. You cannot die and come back to life. J.K. Rowling has been very, very clear about that in the past. She said in the interview that we did, or the transcript on Monday, that Harry was not dead. She said he was in a limbo between life and death. And we had a theory before, which was confirmed. And she said that the fact that Harry, when he was having this, when he was lost in his mind somewhere, and he's at King's Cross Station, that was sort of the purgatory where he has to decide whether, you know, which direction to go, what to get on the train or not to get on the train, to choose between living or dying.
Okay, but
so
if
he wasn't
kind of
dead,
died. He kind of died, though.
No, you can't kind of die. Well, okay, you're either alive or you're dead.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling said he was in limbo. He
yeah, limbo, but you can't be half dead.
Yeah. Guys.
I think the
Harry
answer
Potter
is
not Jesus.
Emerson, I think the answer is he wasn't alive, he wasn't dead, he was just in limbo. He was
okay,
he was
but,
right, but,
sort of
but
between
he didn't
the
die,
two.
Though, because in order to die, he would have had to actually get on that to choose death. He would have had to get on the train,
right.
And he would have had to choose to end his life. Because in so many interviews, J.K. Rowling has made it very clear that when a wizard is dead, he does not come back. And Harry Potter was clearly alive at the end of that book.
Who was Dumbledore
Thus,
then?
He did not die.
Who was Dumbledore at King's Cross? Was he a real Dumbledore come back to talk to him? Or was he just a part of Harry's brain telling him things he already knew?
He was in limbo. So somehow spiritual Dumbledore, who was already dead, was able to communicate with Harry while he was in that kind of purgatory.
I think that's pretty good.
Fair enough.
Maybe. We'll see.
Anything else you want to address about Harry before we call the audience?
Well, what about
up?
Ben Chain? I haven't heard from him yet.
Ben?
Yeah.
It's really hot in here.
I'm Ben Chain.
I don't know. I mean, the rest of them pretty much covered it. I think that he's still kind of an idiot, even after 7 books, but he's starting to figure out a little bit more, which is more than you could say for most people. So,
but has he really, though?
Someone was kind of angry at Joe at the web chat. During the web chat, someone said to Joe, well, why on earth did you have him use the Cruciatus curse? Why would you make him do that? He's Harry. He wouldn't do that. And Joe said, he's just as... I can't remember the exact word she said.
He's human. Says he's mortal, basically.
Yeah, he
like
would.
Like the rest of us. Like Dumbledore,
right.
He has his own set of problems. And,
right.
and it was an extreme circumstance, too. I mean, he needed to do it in order to control the situation. So it wasn't like he just did it out of, you know, cold blood and trying to hurt somebody. He did it because he had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harry's not perfect, and Joe said that. So his two biggest fallacies is his anger and kind of his pride at certain times.
Do you think he won because of himself, or do you think the entire battle was won because of Hermione and his friends and the people who helped him?
I think it was Harry himself. Like I said, Harry, I think, matured a little bit. He realized he had to die. And by him giving up himself for his friends and family, that was still... Actually, there was no family left anymore. But for his friends, it kind of put it so that way. He grew up, and it was him that gave him the extra protection and everything.
But he got so much help throughout the entire books. Dumbledore told him what to do. Snape then led him. You know, without these people, Harry would not have had any idea where to go for the Horcruxes or anything like that.
Is everybody able to follow all this, understand what we're saying? Because I'm hearing a lot of feedback, and I'm just not sure if you guys in the back can hear us okay. So give me some heads or some...
Yeah, no.
Okay, good.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, we're good, Emerson. We're good, Spartzy. So, you want to open it up now for feedback? Does anyone have any thoughts about Harry? Say, like, any problems you have? Raise your hand if you do.
Favorite scenes with Harry? You know, did he say something funny? Come on up here and say your name.
Harry Potter had two semi-naked scenes in the book.
Yeah.
And someone came up to me yesterday and was like, I think I know exactly why Joe did that. And I said, I think I know, too. It's probably because J.K. Rowling wants to see Dan Radcliffe in the flesh again. Like, you know what? Exactly what I was thinking.
Did she say that? Did this girl say
yes.
that? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, what's your name? Where are you from?
Kate from Pittsburgh. When the part of Voldemort that was in Harry got killed, did Harry lose his ability to speak Parseltongue? Did he lose any greatness that he had? So he's just the dumb guy he would have been without Voldemort to begin with. So
basically,
he's even worse than... through the 7 books.
Yes.
No, I would say he's even worse.
He
just doesn't have the ability to speak Parseltongue anymore. I mean, it was never really explicitly stated in the books what powers Harry... Like, there wasn't a list of powers that Harry got from Voldemort. I mean, I'm sure he's still pretty adept magically. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah. Plus, I'm sure Harry's happy not to be able to talk to snakes anymore. It's kind of something from his past he doesn't want to bring up. I don't know. I don't picture Harry wishing he still had the capability to talk to snakes, you know, later on in his life.
Yeah. He does want to move on.
Move on. Touch a Scargo. It's not hurting anymore.
Any other thoughts, questions?
Anybody want to come up and tell us about Harry?
If you do have something to say, come up, make a line on either side.
We have somebody right here.
Name? Where you come on my side to win a free party hat.
I'm Zoe. I'm from Pittsburgh.
Yes! Yes, Pittsburgh!
And, like, we were talking about Harry using the unforgivable curses, but, like, he used the Imperius curse, but Griphook told him to,
So he's even more useless than we thought, first of all.
But, like, Griphook told him to, and it was, like, an extreme circumstance, because he was going to get, like, killed by the Gringotts people. And, yeah. But, and then he did use the Cruciatus curse. He used it in the sixth book, too. He tried to use it on Bellatrix. Or the fifth, sorry. He tried to use it on Bellatrix, but it didn't really work. He wasn't mean enough. He didn't mean it. But then he did. Like, he took her advice, which is a little
Yeah,
weird.
Obviously there are separate circumstances, and when he used the Imperius curse, I think the war had gone so far then that, you know, everything went. Voldemort would use them. Harry has to beat Voldemort, so Voldemort should have the same powers that... So Harry should have the same powers that Voldemort has the entire way. So I think everything went by then.
You want to go
take
on
another
side?
Point?
Yeah. Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Claire from D.C., and I was wondering...
Wait, did you say D.C. as in, like, Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, as in Washington, D.C.
That's...
Wow.
Five hours, yeah. Ben and I made that drive in the middle of the night about a month ago. Did anybody come and see Ben and I when we were here in Pittsburgh about a month ago? Got some hands up. Cool.
MuggleCast brings out the real crowds, though.
Yep. I think Remus Lupin's do.
Okay. So why do you think in the last scene Harry chose only to talk to Neville? He didn't talk to Ginny. He didn't tell Ron and Hermione where he was going. He didn't tell any of the Weasleys where he was going. He talked to Neville. Why did he trust Neville?
Because they shared the connection. It could have been Neville who was in Harry's place, I think. And Harry trusted him because Neville has never, ever led him astray. He's shown him loyalty, unlike people like Seamus who have, you know, once in a while said, you know, well, I don't think you're telling the truth. But Neville has always been there for Harry, even through books one. Even in the first book, he was his friend straight away. And he's still his friend now, so that's probably why he trusted him.
And Harry saw how much he changed in the book. I mean, Neville really did a full 180, which is one of the reasons why I sort of assumed he would be one of the people who was going to get knocked off.
But instead, he knocked off the snake.
Mikey?
I also think it was kind of convenient that Neville was just right there as he was walking away.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why.
Yes.
So Mikey, if Voldemort had just been standing there, would he have entrusted it to him?
Maybe. He's like, hey, Voldy, you need to kill that snake. Because, yeah.
Mikey,
who knows?
Mikey, for one final time.
Everybody, let's give it up for Molly Weasley. Seriously. How cool was that? Yeah, Ben Shane. Molly Weasley, everybody. Come on, can you not imagine the movie? You know, you got Hermione, you got Ginny, and you got Luna, dueling Bellatrix in like a triangle formation. It's going all cool. And then Bellatrix is like, Avada Kedavra, and misses Ginny by like just a hair. And Molly Weasley is like, get away from my daughter, you witch! Yes, we replaced the B with a W on MuggleCast because it's still a kid's show.
I love how you act it out.
I always act it out.
Brilliant.
It's amazing. It's just like, it's going to be so cool! I get a little excited
when
I talk about it.
Wouldn't you agree
books?
That it was Mikey's choice to act it out? And there's one character in the Harry Potter series. Okay.
So why would Molly Weasley do such a thing, Ben Shane?
There is a reason, I'm sure.
I'm sure there is.
No idea.
I think Dumbledore may have said it best, Ben Shane.
It is our choices, Harry. Far more than our abilities. Determine what we truly are.
He gets worked into every show, Ben Shane, everybody. How amazing is he?
Well, we have a lot of questions. Do you want to say
that? The thing is, though, now that J.K. Rowling has said that B word, I think that means we can.
I don't know. I feel that's kind of a potty word.
So, like, can I call you that on the show? I mean, is that cool?
No, that's still offensive, Ben. The Alcatraz shirt on today. Anyway.
I'll still call him a witch.
Here's a party ad. What's your name? Where are you from?
We have people over
here. Sorry. Let me give you a mic, because that's important.
Name, all right, age,
I'm Elizabeth,
where are you from?
From Pittsburgh, here. And
Pittsburgh.
My question is, if you guys have figured out, like, who learned magic later in life, Like,
she brought that up in the web chat too. She said that, yeah, she forgot about that. And just sort of changed her mind, basically.
By book three, she decided, it's over. I don't need to put that in anymore.
Which doesn't make sense. I mean,
yeah.
Didn't she say that after book three, or that, is that just a quote everyone's been dwelling on?
I don't know. She can do whatever she wants. She's Joe Rowling.
Yeah, her excuse is that she thought it, she said that before book three, but then she changed her mind. So whatever. Luckily, someone brought that up in the web chat, because otherwise we would have been like, who is it? Dudley or is it Harry?
I think it was Andrew Sims who got magic, everybody. Anyway, we have some people over here. And what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Marissa from Pittsburgh. And my question was, do you think the only reason that Harry was going to be sorted into Slytherin was because a piece of Voldemort was in him?
Yes, we do, actually. And that brings me to another point that, yes, I have been making for the past several events, because you have to understand, Ben and I spent the entire summer, every single city we went to, we spent probably about half each trip defending a certain theory that was not popular, extremely unpopular, actually.
He's right,
and we got
though.
lots of nasty looks and lots of nasty arguments over, that we were suddenly found to be vindicated over in the seventh book. We proposed that Harry was a Horcrux, and we were laughed at.
Over and over.
Over and over.
And,
over. And
I believed him, though.
So now, we take a moment here to toot our own horns.
He's waiting for an applause, folks, so if you just give it some...
Toot our birthday horns for Harry Potter, everybody.
We also offered... We also offered odds that Dobby wasn't going to die at 100 to 1, so that kind of gets away from it, but
okay.
I think we did well.
We didn't accurately predict the death of every single one of like the 35 million characters who died in the book. I apologize for that.
All 35 million.
There's a lot of behind the scenes.
What were your odds for somebody stabbing him in the chest?
Like, quite high.
Yeah.
If you put money on that, you'd be a millionaire by now.
2 to 1.
Really? How sad was Hedwig's death? Really? That was sad.
Moment of silence for Hedwig, please.
It's a bird.
Okay. That was good.
I like how J.K. Rowling explained that, though, in the web chat. She said that that marked the end of his childhood, which I thought...
Well, the symbolism's all there with the pure, brilliant, white, snowy owl and that dying and the animal symbolism. So I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess it's good, Andrew.
Should we take a next question?
Sure.
Should take another one.
What's your name? Where are you from? Here's a party hat. Oh, sorry.
I guess that's the better line. They get free gifts when they go to that side. Yes. I'm sorry, guys. Andrew doesn't give me stuff.
I'm Caitlin, and I'm from Kane. That's from Pennsylvania, by the way.
Wow. Give it up for Kane, Pennsylvania.
4,000 people.
Yeah!
Going back to the Secret Keeper thing on her website, the discrepancy, do you think she just like changed her mind, or did she forget that she wrote that?
It's to do with Dumbledore dying and it going into his... Do you want to explain it a bit more? Because I'm not entirely sure.
On her website, she said that when the Secret Keeper dies, the secret dies with them, so no one else can find the place but the people that were in on the secret. But in Deathly Hallows, when the Secret Keeper dies, everyone in turn becomes the Secret Keeper.
I think she probably just...
Right, I think it makes sense. I mean, I think what she said on her website was that the secret dies with them, but if they shared the secret with other people... She never specified on her website whether or not that makes them a secret keeper, which is what she cleared up in the...
Wasn't that explained in the book, though?
No. What was said on the website, because I actually was reading the website today for some reason, it was actually that the curse or the protection charm does not get lifted, but she never explained how like it went on beyond that. She said that the charm still exists, and then in book 7 she explained that everybody who knew was in on the secret becomes the secret keeper. And now with like the 30-some-odd people from the Order and the kids and everyone, that they knew the secret, they all were kind of at risk to revealing their secret.
Okay.
I think so.
Thank you.
Sounds about right.
Okay, we have some people over here. What is your name?
Maddie from Pittsburgh. My question is, why didn't Harry name a kid after Sirius? I mean, he named one after every single person in the world except for Sirius.
She actually posted on her website the Albus Severus. She missed out his third middle name. It was Albus Severus Sirius.
Yeah, and didn't they get a black dog named Sirius, too? I'm making that up.
We're joking, by the way, yeah.
I'm sorry. They made that up. They didn't call it Padfoot or Sirius. It's called Ben Chain.
Okay. Next question. Hi, where are you from? Here's a party hat. Celebrate the festivities today.
Hi, I'm Spencer from Pittsburgh. I was wondering, I don't know how long ago it was that J.K. Rowling said that she saw something in the Prisoner of Azkaban movie that she thought people would look back on and think was foreshadowing something from Deathly Hallows. I was wondering what it was, and if it could be that, like, she thought people would think that Snape conjured the Patronus at the lake with the Dementors. Because he has a doe Patronus, and it might be mistaken for a stag.
Hey.
Huh.
That's an interesting question.
Something someone else pointed out at another event we did is maybe it was when it was either Fred or George was joking about after Harry falls off his broom, that they made a joke about falling off of the astronomy tower, which then in Half-Blood Prince, Dumbledore obviously falls off of. So they were saying maybe that's the foreshadowing that they did unintentionally.
That's quite a small hint, though. That's like, yeah. I know what you mean, though, yeah.
But if it was unintentional, then it probably wasn't anything major.
I like the doe thing, though. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
good idea.
Yeah.
He thought it was his dad, though.
It was the shrunken head.
Someone's going to have to ask Joe. Yeah, the shrunken head, yeah.
Shrunken head's like a horcrux.
Take it away, Ern.
Should we take a question from that side?
A question from this side.
I know.
Hi, I'm Katie from Pittsburgh. And my question was just, Harry seemed to be in the right place at the right time when Snape died, and what do you think would have happened if he had gone there after Snape died?
He'd be covered in the memories, and he'd just have to scoop it up off his body and put it into a glass.
Wow, sorry. That's kind of gruesome, Jamie.
Had he not died, I think, had Harry not been there, I mean, he probably would have faced Voldemort and... I mean, he wouldn't have known Snape's true loyalty, obviously, and he wouldn't have known that he's a Horcrux, but, I mean, I don't know if would it have changed the outcome, do you think?
Yeah, because he wouldn't have found out everything about him, so he wouldn't have wandered into danger knowing he had to die and all that kind of thing. It was instrumental, but it was just luck, as you say, that Harry was there at the right time.
Yeah, he also wouldn't have known he was a Horcrux, too. So he wouldn't have been able to open the snitch and all those wonderful things that just coincidentally happened because Harry is so lucky as the boy who lived and gets everything handled.
The boy who lucked out.
Yeah. It's his new name.
You know, he has a murderer after him. He's a very lucky boy.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, it's my turn. My name's Mary, and I'm from Pittsburgh. Do I get a party hat?
Sure.
Sweet.
That's why she came up here. She just wants a party hat. I still got the blow.
Okay, did anybody else wonder what happened to the people that the Resurrection Stone was used on? Because it said that they came back sort of as ghosts, but do you think that they stayed like that, or they went back to being dead? Because as
I think they went back to being dead.
Because everyone's argued, like, oh, he didn't actually die, he was in limbo, but he assumed that they would go away after he sacrificed himself and died. So what happened to them then?
They went away when he dropped the stone. So the stone itself is what gave him the power to bring him back, but he doesn't actually bring him back to life. And since he dropped the stone, Joe actually answered in her transcript, like, what happened to it? Since he dropped it somewhere in the forest, she's like, I imagine, like, one of the centaurs stepping on it and it getting buried and no one ever finding it again. So I hope that kind of answers your question, where it's like, the stone is what has the power because that's one of the three Deathly Hallows.
I always imagined it like a priori incantatum thing when they came out, but they were vapory and they didn't last long and you knew they weren't real, but then they went away, you know.
I thought of them as like pudding because it's kind of tasty.
By the way, that hat looks a bit like
bad joke.
A bit like in a rumpet horn, and those are bad news, so be careful with that thing. Be careful with those.
It's very true.
Okay, hi, my name's Josh from Pittsburgh. And I sort of have, like, a question and a sort of thing. And I sort of agree with you guys when you said that Harry was a Horcrux, because technically he does follow the definition of one. Part of his soul, like, cut up into something.
Are you going to say but?
Huh?
But. He
no,
is
I'm
a
not
going to
say but. I'm just agreeing with you guys.
All right, okay.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you. Also, she said that, like, Harry didn't mean the curses in the books. And that just sort of kind of makes me confused, because when he did the Cruciatus Curse on Bellatrix, I think he would have meant it, because his godfather had just died and she had killed her. I don't really know what's up with that.
I think, I always thought the point was that you have to want to hurt them, whereas Harry just wanted, you know, revenge. He didn't actually want to cause pain.
So that sheer emotion alone isn't enough to actually make the curse work. Like,
yeah.
I think it has to be something you're conditioned to do. You have to be conditioned to be just like the art of hurting people. I mean, I really think that's what it is.
Yeah. And he just wanted to get her out of the way. He didn't want to cause her pain. He just wanted to kill her. I'd say that's probably it. But
okay.
Okay.
Next one.
What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Lonnie. I'm from Pittsburgh.
Say that again.
I'm Lonnie. I'm from Pittsburgh.
Woo! Anyone here from Exton? Exton? Murraysville? Yes. Used to live there. All right.
Wow.
When Neville and Professor Sprout and all the people who are carrying mandrakes to throw at the Death Eaters, they all have earmuffs on. But Harry passes them, and he doesn't have earmuffs, and like all the others on the castle and grounds, why don't they die? Because the cry of the mandrake is fatal.
See, J.K. Rowling, when she writes these books, it's not perfect. Is there a good explanation for that? I mean, I guess that's why the chapter was called The Flaw in the Plan.
Maybe did he cast Muffliato and he didn't hear it perfectly?
Okay. Do you have to really hear it?
The mandrakes were in the pots.
Yeah.
They were in the pots, and they were going to, like, pull them out of the pots.
Well, yeah, but when they throw them, why don't everyone else on the grounds die?
Because... Don't! Didn't Flitwick cast the Muffliato charm on the castle? Wasn't that one of the things he was doing?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Let's keep an eye on these two. I have a feeling it's going to be a brawl after the show.
Yeah. I got an answer. I got an answer for that.
We know each other.
Oh, okay. They know each other, folks. All right. I don't
it's a book.
Maybe they were in the pot. Maybe they still were in the pot. Maybe they weren't pulled out yet. But they did have earmuffs. So.
See, I almost feel like they're kind of one of those little creatures that could be used if it was real for whatever reason. They could just throw one of them out into the middle, like the Hogwarts grounds, and then it'd be like a magical bomb. Because everybody around would just drop. Okay.
That's an awesome idea.
I'm done.
No, can you imagine right. Just like going... Broop,
it sounded funnier in his head, I'm dying. Sure.
Anyway. They should pack like 100 mandrakes into a bomb, then just drop it. That would work. Yeah. That would cover everywhere.
By the way, this guy right here, I can't help but notice. He's wearing the Muggle Night shirt from the England podcast. Were you there? Yeah, you were there. Yeah, I recognize you. What are you doing here? Just out of curiosity. Oh, nice. Wow. Check that out, Jamie.
That's pretty cool. That's very cool.
Waterstones called the podcast. Can you turn around and show the audience? Muggleheads, what does it say? Biggest ever podcast event? That was the name of it. Huh? Yeah, it was 100th episode, yeah. Yeah, nice shirts. Not for sale. Sorry, folks. All right. Hold on. Oh, on the right there?
Well, he can sell it if he wants to. It's
yeah,
up
he
to
can
him,
sell it, yeah, sure.
We'll start
the right,
bidding at...
On the right, Mikey?
Go on, then.
Hi, I'm Allie. I'm from Monaca, Pennsylvania, and my question is, Voldemort killed Snape, but do you, any of you think Snape is still evil?
No.
He's a jerk.
I'm going to refer to the web chat again. J.K. Rowling sees Snape as a hero. An anti-hero. Yeah, exactly. So if J.K. Rowling doesn't think he's evil, then I don't think we should.
I agree.
After the event yesterday, somebody actually came up and asked a really good question that made me think for a second. They said, which character do you think had the worst life? And I was thinking about all characters who might have had bad childhoods, like Voldemort and Dumbledore and Harry. And I was thinking, it has to be Snape.
I agree.
Because Voldemort was obviously in a different kind of ballgame because he wasn't capable of feeling love and he didn't feel that hurt that Snape must have been feeling every minute of every day not having, you know, never being able to get Lily and by being mistreated and always being an outcast.
Voldemort enjoyed his life near the end as well. He liked the power. He liked operating alone. Whereas Snape, you know, he went from that horrible childhood that you just described into a life where he was playing double agents. He didn't know who to trust. Everyone else hated him, and then he died with Hogwarts thinking that he was a traitor. So I agree, he had the saddest life.
What about Harry, though? I mean, his was pretty bad, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but at least he's now grown up with a person he loves and the children he loves as well.
And not dying and early at the hands of Voldemort. Yeah.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think Snape, I agree.
Okay, next question.
That was a nice moment.
I'm Jess from Pittsburgh here. And my question is, throughout the books, we've seen so many people help Harry. Who do you guys think helped him the most? Like,
Hermione.
The absolute most.
Hermione, yeah.
Oh, wait, Dumbledore is a lot, too, though.
Yeah. Dumbledore, too.
But he wouldn't have been able to win had Hermione not been there. So I'm going to say Hermione.
Yeah, he would.
He would have died about 10,000 times by now without Hermione. Like Hermione, she's read so many books. She always knows the right spell for the situation. And while Harry's strategy is just to go barging into whatever house or whatever thing he's trying to figure, like God's Hotel or whatever, and Hermione says, no, Harry, slow down. We need a plan. We need to make sure we've cast all the right spells and we've covered all our angles. But Harry's just, he's such a Gryffindor. He doesn't really plan things out like maybe he should. Like in the fifth book when, you know, he gets this image of Sirius in his head. And, oh, I know what I got to do. I got to go by myself into the Department of Mysteries to go face Voldemort. And yeah, I'm going to take him down. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it.
Well, I've always
and then Hermione's like, no, Harry, you need us.
Yeah.
And she was absolutely right. Harry would have been completely screwed on his own.
I've always seen it as like a triangle. So at the top you have Harry, then you have Dumbledore and Hermione. Dumbledore gives Harry the clues, but he's too stupid to figure them out. So then they go down to Hermione. She figures them out, then tells Harry.
That's a good one.
That about sums up every book.
Yeah.
Except in Deathly Hallows, where Harry figured out the Deathly Hallows before Hermione.
Wow, one thing and in Hermione seven
kept,
books.
Hermione kept him alive through the first 500
something
pages.
That's bugging
so.
Me,
I'm
by
just
the way,
saying, Harry figured it out.
This is something that's bugging me. Is it's Hallows, not Hallows, by the way.
Hallows, okay. Hallows.
I'll
just,
never
just,
get
just
it right.
Just to clear that up.
I keep messing it up. I'm sorry.
Wait, what is it? It is Hallows.
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 Yeah. Hallows.
Hallows.
I just feel weird saying Hallows. I don't know why.
Hallows.
Hallows.
Ah, that's a funny joke, right, everybody? No, okay. We have a few more people.
Good one, Mikey.
Hi, I'm Justine from Pittsburgh. At the end of the book, Harry says that if he dies a natural death, that the Elder Wand's like powers will go away. But Malfoy gets the wand from disarming Dumbledore, and then Harry gets it from disarming Malfoy. So if someone disarms Harry, won't they get the
Elder Wand? They will.
So is it really as simple as disarming somebody, though? I mean,
well, no, they say that wand lore is very precise, so it might work sometimes. It might not work the next time. So I think it just depends on the context of the situation. That's what Ollivander said.
Really, do you guys think anyone in the wizarding world is going to be like, all right, Harry beat Lord Voldemort. I want to go duel Harry because, come on. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to disarm you. And
I'd want
this
my
one.
Shot. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
You know what? I wouldn't want to try even. I would rather shake his hand and be like, good job, guy. I don't think I can do that. Who knows? We'll have to see for book 12 or something like that to come out.
Next question.
We know that.
See, one question I'd like to ask J.K. Rowling is, what happened to the wand? After he uses it to fix his own wand, would he destroy it? Would he... I wouldn't imagine he was going to bury it. Like,
that is so
burying doesn't
stupid
sound very,
and rash, I know.
Burying... I mean, in the magical world, you're just going to bury something? I think, like, he would...
Yeah, that's a fair point.
What? But I feel like that's almost... Like Voldemort already got it out of there once. Like, why would he really just decide to leave it in the tomb and then hope no one goes and digs up the tomb like one person just did 100 pages ago?
Well,
I feel like Harry... I feel like he should destroy the wand.
Hermione will be there
possible.
And cast all the charms over it that protect it. And she'll help him out. That's what will happen.
One thing that really bothered me in the book that I sort of found like borderline disgusting was when Voldemort opened up Dumbledore's tomb to get the wand out. That was just
that
like
kind of bad.
It was so like disrespectful. Not that Voldemort cares, but still, I felt offended. I was like, "What? Why are you opening it up? Not cool."
Yeah. Well, he's Voldemort. What do you expect?
I didn't expect him to drop down and kneel and pray before his grave.
No, but
the
point he was trying to make is just that it was kind of like a gross thing.
It was gross. Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Ew.
I mean, okay. This is the same guy who's like chopping his soul up into like make you know a soul kind of soup, so he doesn't care about looking at another corpse. He's already killed so many people.
Yeah.
He also used his dad's bone to get you know come back to life with the body, which is kind of gross too when you think about it. Dad bone.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Next question.
I'm Jordan from Princeton, West Virginia, and I know before Book 7 came out, there was lots of speculation that all four of the Marauders had to die, and I wondered what you guys thought about that, especially since Lupin wasn't originally intended to die, but then he did.
And did anyone else notice that they did end up dying in reverse order? Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, Prongs? Yeah.
They did end up dying in reverse order. That was a big theory. Everyone was really relying on that for some reason.
I was kind of disappointed with Wormtail's death. I expected it to actually be something really sacrificial rather than him just, you know.
I didn't think you could strangle yourself either.
Well, I think it was the hand, the magic ability behind the hand that did it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, two more quick questions and then we'll wrap it up. Sorry, guys. Sorry, I know. I suck.
I'm Jolie from Shaler outside of Pittsburgh. I
wanted to know how Harry was able to just get into Grimmauld's place simply by saying, I didn't kill you. Wouldn't Snape have been able to say the same thing and get in?
Harry was always able to get into Grimmauld's place, just like Snape was, but it was the kind of the dust Dumbledore was the way to repel that, was to say that you didn't kill Dumbledore.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. What would Snape have said if he'd
come? I would assume Snape would just, like, you know, conjured a dustbuster and it's like, by Dumbledore.
Probably, Mike. But
that would be kind of cool, like, you know, seeing that in the movie or something like that.
That would be very cool.
But no, like, to get into Grimmauld Place, you just had to know where it was at, and he was able to get in. But we did find out in the chat that Snape did go back to Grimmauld Place, but right after Dumbledore's death, to get the second part of the letter, so before Moody had...
had the chance to put those enchantments on,
yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
All right, last question for today from this guy right here. Happy birthday. It's not really your birthday. Anyway, what's your question? Where are you from?
Hi, I'm Tyler from Bradford. And in the book, we learned that Petunia wrote a letter to Dumbledore, and Lily said that it was really kind. So what do you think his response was?
Lily said that it was really kind. Oh. So you're asking what the response was? Any theories?
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Right, because it was... Her original letter was asking to go to Hogwarts, right? So Dumbledore's... Okay. Maybe it was just like, sorry, but you're not... You're not fitted for this.
A
witch, yeah. What's that?
No, but she didn't have any bags with her. I wouldn't go to Hogwarts with no bags.
Okay. Well,
who knows? Yeah. We'll find out in the encyclopedia, though. Maybe.
I'm sure whatever it was, Dumbledore was working his magic, and he probably sent him little, like, chocolate-covered frogs or something.
So we have a girl right here who came all the way from Connecticut, so I say we should give her a question.
Yay!
One more question, everybody. 8-hour drive, seriously. Or Remus, I guess you should say.
Hi, I'm Sarah from Connecticut, and I was just wondering, since Dumbledore's brother, Aberforth, he didn't like Dumbledore, why did he live so close to him? He lived, like, right down the street from...
I think real estate was probably cheap in Hogsmeade. Cleared the hog's head there. Plus, there's probably abundance of goats around. I don't know. I can't answer that. Jamie?
Maybe his job thrusted him into
living
there.
He got moved away to Hogsmeade, and he had to be a bartender there instead of somewhere else where he was. And he just liked being there. And on a serious note, he was part of a greater plan, and I'm sure even though Dumbledore and him hadn't reconciled, I think he probably told him a bit of stuff.
Yeah, and the distance is really as far as you make it anyways. I mean, just because they were that close to each other doesn't mean they actually had to see each other, so...
And distance isn't really important in the Wizarding World when you can disappear and reappear 1,000 miles away in 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes a sense.
It's true. Everyone's neighbor.
We do have one more person to come on up here.
Alex, man.
Hi.
Hi.
It's the end of the road for us. I'm getting a little emo right now.
Don't be sad. It's all right.
We'll see you guys in a...
I came all the way from Virginia, and I was wondering, according to your site, there's the book 7 is supposed to have 784 pages, but...
I gave you that answer, so...
Yeah, okay, go for it.
When Scholastic does the page counts, they don't do, like, the number. The number doesn't matter. They count every individual page. So including the acknowledgments, including the dedication, including all that, because Order of the Phoenix was originally listed as 898 pages, but the last page number is actually 870. So there you go.
That explains that.
Thanks for playing. You're welcome. we've been on tour for the past 8 shows. I got to say, we've all really enjoyed it. Thank you for letting us come on.
Thank you guys for coming and talking about Harry Potter.
I'm going to cry.
Don't cry, Sims. Okay.
We'll see you in two days, really.
Yeah, we're going to see each other in a couple of days, so it's not so bad. But I wanted to bring up one person who's a very special person who came all the way out for our last show. You guys, Sean Astin is here.
Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings, everybody.
Astin, ladies and gentlemen.
Get on my back, Mr. Frodo.
And Sean wanted to say something.
I just wanted to say that I think that J.R. Tolkien was the original writer of Harry Potter.
Come on now.
I mean, the whole thing with Samwise and...
I'm pretty sure you haven't read the books, so wait, I don't think you have any room to talk.
It is pretty similar.
Oh, Sean, what's
Mr.
your favorite?
Frodo and Harry. It's like the same exact thing, basically.
Wow.
Thanks, Samwise.
Rudy.
Thanks for letting us come on the floor, seriously.
Anyway.
Brandon, thank you for your help with all the technical thingies over there that you're doing. Also, thanks to Mikey for organizing this thing for us. Mikey, you're the man.
Thank you, Mikey.
And before we let you all go, the Rima Zoopins are going to come up here in a minute, and they're going to rock hardcore, all you guys. But after the show, we are going to have merchandise for sale. You can buy all the Remus Lupin's CDs and buttons and T-shirts, MuggleCast tour T-shirts. You can only buy them here. And also, 6 months ago, Warner Brothers made us stop selling T-shirts, MuggleNet T-shirts, on the website. But tonight, we have a few left for sale. So after the show, you'll have an opportunity to buy those for $15 each.
And that's after the Remus Lupin's play.
Yeah, so stick
around.
After
everything is done, so that we don't have to worry about missing them at all.
Then we'll do the merchandise and the meet and greet. So meet and greet, merchandise, after the Remus Lupin's play. They have a great show coming up. You guys are going to love this music. It's a lot of fun. So thank you, everyone, for coming out.
Thank you.
Yes. MuggleCast, episode 193.
We'll see you guys in a little bit.